Okay, hello everybody. Thank you. My name is Gil Student. Thank you, Lizzie, for inviting me. It's incredible to see so many people come together for Torah just on a regular weekday night. It's an honor just to be invited here. So the topic I suggested is something I spoke about on Shavuos. The mitzvah to be normal. So what is this mitzvah? So they say in the name of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, it's to say, Medar Zayin Normal. And the way I heard it from Rav Hirsch Chachter, he likes to say, it's a mitzvah to be normal. So what is this mitzvah? Where does it come from? What does it mean to be normal? And what is a mitzvah? So they say, I don't remember which Rebbe. Maybe it was a Belzer Rebbe. So back, there used to be, well, still it is, a machlok is whether you should vote in the Israeli elections. Whether, you know, Hasidim should be voting it in the elections. So I think it was a Belzer Rebbe put out a statement that it was a mitzvah to vote in the elections. So around that time, the Satmar Rebbe happened to be visiting Eretz Israel, and he went to whichever Rebbe it was, maybe Belzer, we'll say Belzer. And he said, what do you mean, a mitzvah to vote? A mitzvah like eating matzah? And the Belzer Rebbe said, no, a mitzvah like eating maror. So, you know, when we say mitzvah, do we mean it just as a figure of speech? So I think our gut reaction is yes, but I'd like to suggest no. And we'll go through and we'll discuss it, come to a different conclusion. So there are three areas, I think, where it's important to be normal. And one is regarding the outside world. Another is regarding your community. And the third is regarding yourself. So we'll start with the Gemara in Brachos. Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. So Chana was davening for a son, right? As we all know, she was in the Mishkan, she couldn't have children. The other wife had many children, and she felt terrible about it. And this is the paradigm of tefillah. This is what we learn Hilchos tefillah from. So one of the things that she asked for in the tefillah is V'nosata l'amascha zera anoshim. You should give your maidservant zera anoshim. Seed man, what does that mean? So the Gemara says, Rabbanan Amri, so there are many opinions in the Gemara. Here's one, Rabbanan Amri, Zera Anashim, Zera Shemuvla Bein Anashim. You should have a child who is inconspicuous, who blends in among other people. He also, Rav Dimi, Omar, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Israel, he said, Lo Aruch, Velo Gutz, Velo Katan, Velo Ilan, Velo Sachar, Velo Gichar, Velo Chacham, Velo Tipesh. Shouldn't be, not too tall, not too short, not too small, not too fat. Not too smart, not too stupid. Ooh, that was for a kid like that, right? You want the best. You want to have the smartest kid in the class, the tallest, best looking, alamilos. That's what you want. And she's dominating for an average kid. So what's going on? So I'd like to explore three different pshatim in this Gemara, and I think that will help us understand what it means to be normal. So the Shvus Yaakov, the Ian Yaakov, Rav Yaakov Reicher. So in his Ian Yaakov Perish on the Ein Yaakov, he connects this to the famous Rambam in Hilchos Deos. So I'll start out reading the Rambam in Hilchos Deos, Perek Aleph, and I'm just going to mention a Pelazinke Ha'ora that I heard from Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Harlap, who was the first Rosh Yeshiva in Merkez Arav. Something is missing in the Rambam. Listen. So the Rambam starts out Hilchos Deos. Deos har be'ish l'chol echad ve'echad min ve'adam. Many different character traits, different kinds of people. Everybody's different, everybody's all different. If you look around, you know that. Everybody's different. Some people just get angry, easily angered. And some people are just calm. They don't respond with anger. And if you do get angry only a little bit, become a shonim. But once in every few years you get angry. People are just arrogant. They think the best of themselves. They can never be wrong. They're always perfect. And some people are very, very humble. And it goes on and on. So Rav Karla pointed out, the Rambam never mentions anyone who's normal. There's always someone on one extreme or the other. Everybody's got something wrong with them. But there's nobody normal there. And he says the message is because everybody's got issues. Nobody's perfect. We shouldn't think because we have issues we're strange. That is normal. It is normal, or it's common, it is everybody has issues. So what does it mean to be normal? So the Rambam continues. You should take the middle path, right? You all know this. The Haderech Hayeshara Imida Bein Onish B'chol Dei Avedeya. Always take the middle, the mathematical average between one extreme and the other extreme. That's where you want to be. And according to the Rambam, that's what it means to be normal. It means to be in between. To get a little angry, not too much angry. And every midah to have a little bit of it, but not too much. So v'yadeshi rechokim ishtiak sovos richuk shava. The inner krova lolos over lolos del. You shouldn't be close to either the extremes, right in the middle. Laficha tzivu chachamim marishonim she'adam sham de'osav tami. That's therefore chachamim said, everybody should always look at how they react. Constantly misharosam and mechavim osam b'derech hamsoris k'neshehei shalom b'gufo. You should always be working on yourself to try to get yourself to the middle path. If you find you're deviating in any way, that's where you should focus. Okay, let's skip to Perek Aleph Halacha Hey. Umutsuvin anu lalechaz v'drachim ha'ela. The Rambam says, what's a mitzvah here? V'drachim ha'ela ha'benanim. V'hem v'drachim ha'tom v'asham shenemar v'halachta b'drachov. So the Rambam says, actually, mitzvah deraisa to be normal. To go through that average path and not be too far in any direction. So what does it mean? I'm actually not sure about this. This is not a rhetorical question. What does it mean that Hashem is normal, so we should be normal also? Hashem is not normal, right? Hashem is unique. But I guess he's telling us that the way Hashem acts is in this way of sometimes he gets angry, sometimes not. Sometimes he's jealous, sometimes he's not. And that's the way we should be, based on Hashem's actions. So according to the Rambam, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa to be normal.
It's
the midos, correct. Not the way. So that's a good question, because the Gemara says, not too tall, not too short. So the Ian Yaakov does not answer that. And we'll come to other answers that might actually, that do address that. Ian Yaakov, a good point. The Ian Yaakov is only talking about midos. So the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, Eidu Hideris Hashor Hishavu Lo HaAdam, right? What's a straight path that everybody should take? Akoshi Tiferis Loser, but Tiferis Lomino Adam. Right, whatever is good for other people and good for yourself. And the Rambam says, exactly, see, if you're very generous with your money, so that's good for other people. If you're very stingy, that's good for yourself. So you should be somewhere in the middle. Give, but not too much. And that's what he said. They said that's shot in the Mishnah. So Rasha Weiss has this Peladikat Shuvah. Since we're talking about being normal for yourself, right? This is the aspect. Find taking that smooth path. He talked about someone who has OCD, which is a real condition. And so the person asked the Shire, look, I cannot go through all of Shema without repeating every word many, many, many times. I can't bench without repeating every word many, many times. And his psychologist tells him the treatment for that, the standard treatment is you just say it once, never repeat. Even if you're sure you got it wrong, keep going. What should he do? Should he, the answer of Rashi, should he never eat a kazayas of bread? So he's never chayiv midaraisa, or that's midarabana. Should he never eat kadesviya to be full of bread? So he's never chayiv midaraisa? So Rashi White said, that question is goof with the problem you're dealing with. That's OCD. No, no, no. Eat normally, do what your psychologist tells you. And if you're not Yosei, don't worry about it. So what's his svara? Okay, who gives him the right to say, you can be not Yosei and mitzvah deraisa? So one of his svaras, he says, just basically, why are we mechalel Shabbos for somebody? For pikuach nefesh? Chalel of Shabbos achas, kidei shiyishmor Shabbos harbe. Right, one svara is in the Gemara, is that violate this Shabbos so you can keep many Shabbosos in the future. So we know this. That's one of the svaras for pikuach nefesh. So he says also, look, don't, if you're sure in your mind you're not Yosei benching now, don't worry. What you do now, by not repeating any word, will allow you to bench many times in Yisrael Hashem in the future. Kedas v'kedin, and everybody will agree you'll be Yosei. So do what your psychologist says now. And that, you know, we don't like to say some people are not normal, some people are not. But OCD is a legitimate condition. And the way to remove that is to just act normally and move forward. And with psychological guidance, of course. That was one aspect of being normal. Being normal means having good midos that are not on any extreme. Rav Kook had a different pshat in this Gemara. He has a perish on the Ein Yaakov and Brochus, Ein Ayah, and he says a completely different pshat on Chana's Tefillah for Shmuel, that Shmuel should be normal, should be average. Rav Kook says as follows, the Hashpia al Hador, in order to influence people and generation, Mofrach Shiakar B'ma'loso al Hador, Be'ofen Shiaroyu L'Hashpa. You have to be similar to people in order for them to understand you and to be influenced by you. If you want to be an influential leader, you have to be relatable. Alken vitra achasida ashlemus atma. Therefore, the tzaddikus, Chana, she forgave, she gave a little bit on Shmuel's perfection. Ubiksha she had muvla ben anshei hador. She wanted him to be relatable, to be relatively within the population, so that people would be influenced by him. And the irony, of course, is who was Rav Kook? He was this tzaddik walking around in the Shtreimel in the middle of Eretz Yisrael in the 1920s, right? So he was completely not relatable to the people in Eretz Yisrael. But he had a good aura. That's the way. If you want to be influential, Shmuel wanted to have an influence on the door, on the generation, that's what he needed to do. He needed to be normal. If you're too tall, people are too handsome, you look like a movie star, you know what? People are going to be intimidated. They're going to say, you live a different life than us. If you're too brilliant, well, first of all, brilliant people often are completely incomprehensible. You felt this, right? Sometimes there are people who are so brilliant, you have no idea what they're talking about, and they just talk in their own world. And an Elui needs guidance on how to relate to other people. And there are many Eluim who just disappear off the face of the earth, right? They're going to be the next Gadol Hador, and you never hear from them. And part of that is because they're so brilliant, they can't relate to anybody, and they have social awkwardness, and nobody understands their shiurim anyway, and they just live in their own little world. Rav Kook says if you want to have influence, you want to be a Rav, you want to be a Manig, you need to be relatable. So the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, one of the Psulim Le'edus, someone who cannot testify, is a Masachet Bekuvia, a professional gambler. So why should a gambler be Psulim Le'edus? What did he do wrong? Where do you see an Isser to gamble? So there are two opinions in the Gemara. One opinion in the Gemara is, yeah, it is us in the Gemara. It's Asmachta. Because if you say, I bet that it's going to be a 3 or an 8 on the dice, and you have in mind, you're confident that it's going to be, and if it's not, then someone ends up stealing your money, or you end up stealing their money. It's Asmachta. Okay, that's one opinion. The other opinion in the Gemara is as follows. Lefish ain't asukin be yeshiva shel olam. Because a gambler is not part of society. They're not contributing members of society. So the last Mashgiach in Slobodka was Avram Grudzinski, Hashem Yikub Domo. He was killed by the Nazis. And his sefer, his Talmid, he put together a sefer of all his essays and his shmuzin, Torah Avram. And one of the essays in Torah Avram talks about this Mishnah. And he asks, what did this guy do wrong? Okay, so he doesn't have a nice profession. He's locked away in this casino with the air conditioning going 24/7, lights, no clocks. He doesn't know what's going on. But what did he do wrong? Why is he punished? So he says as follows: if you want to testify about a transaction, you have to understand how the world works. Gamblers live in a different world with people who have different ways of interacting with each other. You don't understand the transaction. You think it's all about this and that and gambling and this and that. No, you have to understand. It's not an onish. It's a natural consequence of being totally removed from normal society. So if you have a leader who lives in his own ivory tower, Every Rosh Hashiva I've ever met makes a point of going to shuls and going to people and schmoozing them and finding out what's going on in their lives. Because how else are they supposed to advise their Talmidim? And almost 99% of them I've ever spoken to have more insight into the daily life of a balabas than many of us do. Because they spend the effort, they put in that effort, they do that work. But if you live in an ivory tower and you don't do that work, you have no idea how to relate to people, and you can't have any influence. So the Torah Avraham adds, this is a machayev, that we're obligated to understand society. You need to gain, to acquire this social intelligence. That's what he says, this mission is machayev. Okay. So there was this fellow in about 1560s, I believe, who moved from Germany to Eretz Yisrael, and he settled in Tzfat. Tzfat in that time was a Sephardic, 99.9% Sephardic, and it was the era of the Gedolim. The Arizal had recently passed away, the Beis Yosef lived there, the Radbaz lived there, the Mabit lived there. It was an era of Gedolei Torah. So this Ashkenazi Jew moved to Tzfat, and he says, I'm not going to trust the Kashrus. Particularly regarding halachos akluyos ba'aretz. So when is produce chayiv and mice and trumas and maaseres after the gemar malacha? So if it's grown and reaped and harvested and completed with a non-Jew owning it, even in Eretz Yisrael, it's not chayiv and trumas and maaseres. So how do you define gemar malacha? So he had a very machmir definition. And he decided that even after the non-Jews gave it to the Jews to sell, the Gemar Malacha was done in the property of the Jews, therefore it was Chayiv Trumas and Maaseres. So he would not eat in the house of the Beis Yosef and the Radbaz because they didn't take Trumas and Maaseres on this vegetables. So what did they do? There's a Tshuva from Rabbi Sal Ashkenazi. He was a Shita Mekubetzes. He was a Chavrus of the Arizal when they were young. So he lived in Tzfas. He said he was journeying. He was traveling from Tzfas to Yerushalayim, which nowadays is just a car ride or a train ride. In those days, it was a big deal. It was dirt roads. And he was going with this yeshiva bachar. And the yeshiva bachar wouldn't eat from Rabbi Sal Ashkenazi's food, even though he was starving. He waited to get to Yerushalayim so he could be machmer on the shita. And he said, who is this kid? Who is this kid? The shita mekubetzes gives you food, and you say it's not kosher enough for me. So what do? They put him in chayim. It was catching on. The Talmidim decided I wanted to be firmer than the next. And it was catching on. They said, we got to put a stop to it. So they sent the Shaila to the Maharsh Dam, who was in Salonika. So he was not an Ogea Badover. And they asked him, number one, are we correct that this guy is wrong? And number two, is the Cherem valid? So the Maharsh Dam said, number one, of course you're right. Of course you're right. And number two, but you don't put him in Cherem. That's not a good advice. Just teach the Talmidim and they'll be fine. So what did he answer? His answer is fantastic. The first tshuva of the tshuvas of Sal Ashkenazi is from this other guy. And what did he say? He said, you guys are all basically exiles from Spain. You came here in what, the past 100 years? 150 years? We were here first, because 300 years ago, the Rosh Mishans made Aliyah from France after the Jews were expelled from France or around the time, and he came with 200 other Talmidei Chacham to Eretz Yisrael, and I'm following his Shita. So for whatever reason, people didn't accept that. Whatever reason. So part of being normal is following the normal Shitas of Halacha that people around you follow. And whatever the Chumra is or the Kula is, just do what other people do. But they're a klal. So the chidah got the following shayla. The first tshuva in Chaim Shal. An avrich was told by other people, this is the late 1700s in Eretz Yisrael. He says, look, you're a real Talmid Chacham, you're a tzaddik. We see that you're a real erech hayid. Why don't you wear Rabbeinu Tam tefillin? And he said, you know what the Shulchan Aruch says? Only someone who is mochzak b'chassidus, ready to establish as of someone who really goes extra, only they're allowed to wear Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. And they said, yeah, but look around the shul. Half the people wear Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. He said, I'm a Shulchan Aruch Jew. I'm not going to wear it. So then he asked the Chida, am I right or am I wrong? And the Chida says as follows. He says, first of all, these are the kind of shadows I like to get. Right? So someone just wanted to know, I'm not trying to be extra from or whatever. I just want, what am I supposed to do? What does the Shem want from me? So the Chida says, yeah, right. In the time of the Shulchan Aruch, only someone who was Mechzah b'chassidus wore Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. That was the case, but for whatever reason, it's not the case nowadays. Nowadays, it's relatively normal for people to wear Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. Not my fault, says the Chida. I didn't tell them to, but they do. So if that's what people are doing, look, you're big enough Talmud Chacham, you should be wearing Rabbeinu Tam tefillin as well. If you don't feel comfortable doing it in public, so do it at home. Put on your Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. There's no reason you have to do it in shul. It was as an aside, so there's a Dayan in Kensington, in Herschel Kurzrock. So recently, he gives a shiur in his shul every day, and somehow I got on the list recently, and they're emailing me the audio. So fantastic stuff. He's, I think he's probably around 90. he's well known in the Dayana world of Dayanas as a real mocha. So he told about how he started wearing Rabbeinatam tefillin. It was weird. He's not a young man, right? So he's got a cell phone, but I'm not sure 100% he's aware of how to use it. So while giving the shiur, he gets a call, and he's, you know, you can hear him fumbling around with it. What do I do? As he pushes it, and his daughter starts speaking. So okay, so in the middle of the shiur, he starts talking to his daughter. So what is it? And you can hear everything that she was saying and he was saying. So she said, "Tati, my husband said you left your Rabbeinatam tefillin at our home." And so he says, "Oh, those Rabbeinatam tefillin, and I actually have another pair that I keep in shul. It's not a problem. I should tell you the story about how I got two pairs of Rabbeinatam tefillin." So she hangs up on him, because I'm not so sure he's fully capable of doing that. So then people in the shul are like, "No, what's his story?" So he was saying, "Look, he didn't really want to wear Rabbeinatam tefillin. That's who is he to wear Rabbeinatam tefillin?" But it happened to be there was a kosher candy store near his house. 30 years ago, he was 60-some years old, and he was going there to get candy to bring to the shul, and he saw on the table there, someone was standing there, and there was a pair of tefillin, and the guy said, "I don't know what this is, I don't know, we've just found it, we're going to throw it out." He said, "Don't throw it out, I'll take it." So he took it, and he had it checked by himself, and it turned out to be Rabbeinatam tefillin. He said, "You know, this is probably a simon, I should be wearing Rabbeinatam tefillin." And so he started wearing Rabbeinatam tefillin. Otherwise, he wouldn't have done it. And then eventually his father-in-law passed away and he inherited an extra pair, so he has two pairs. But otherwise, you know, Rabbeinatam tefillin, okay. It's not yora, because normal is doing what other people do. You have your own mesorah, but you don't want to deviate too much. And what is normal in one generation and in one place and time is different than what's normal in another place and time. Some people are different, though. There's a Mishnah Brachos that a chassan is pater from saying Kriya Shema the night of his wedding. Right? We're not knowing by that because we don't have kavana nowadays. So you still have, that actually happened. I couldn't remember. I was at my wedding. I couldn't remember. I went up to the rabbi and said, starting Maariv, should I daven or should I not daven? And he said, go daven. So nowadays we don't hold on this, but in the time of the mission, the Gemara, a chassan was pater for Kriya Shema. So that's chachamim, and Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel says, So the Mishnah says, the Chacham is safe, but if he wants to, he can. And Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel says, no. Lo kol arotz litol os Hashem yitol. Not everybody should come up and say, "I'm such a big tzaddik, I should be machmir beyond the patur." It's one Mishnah. Then there's a Mishnah of Sachin that some people have a minig not to work on Tisha B'Av. Other people have a minig that they do work on Tisha B'Av. And that everywhere, Talmidei Chachamim don't do malacha. Not work, malacha. Malacha like on Chol HaMoed. That's not allowed. So everywhere Talmid Chacham should not do work. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, "L'olam yaseh adam atmo Talmid Chacham." Everyone should act like a Talmid Chacham. So which is it? By a chassan saying Kriya Shema, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, you shouldn't act like a Talmid Chacham. By Melacha on Tisha B'Av, Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel says, you should act like a Talmud Chacham. So it's not my kasha, the Gemara asks the kasha, the Gemara in Brachos. And the Gemara says, it's also kasha derabbanan on derabbanan. Right? Because by Kriya Shema they say, anybody wants to machmir can be machmir. And by Melacha on Tisha B'Av they say, not everybody should be machmir. So the Gemara says, no, everybody really agrees in general that Talmidei Chachamim should act on a higher level, but an average person should not. But when it comes to Kriya Shema, maybe you could say everybody's saying Kriya Shema, okay, so you say Kriya Shema also, you'd be like everybody else. But when it comes to Malacha and Tisha B'Av, so you know what, not everybody always has Malacha to do. Maybe you just, maybe it's time for your nap, or maybe you have other things that you don't really have any Malacha, so it's fine. But there are Chalal, everybody agrees. Everybody should act normal, and a Talmid Chacham should act a little extra. And you shouldn't act beyond your position. You have to know what your position is and where you stand in the community. The Chazon Ish has a letter, and it's Igros Chazon Ish Chaf. He gives a number of pieces of advice, just randomly collected advice that he was giving to someone. So the fourth piece of advice is as follows. I'm going to read it to you. Lizar Melasos Dover Mishuna. Should be careful not to do anything strange. Shein acherim osimkin, that nobody else is doing. Velizar me'od bazeh. Be very, very careful. Don't act strange. It's a lesson both in Yiddishkeit and in just normal behavior. You should just try to blend in. But we said a Talmid Chacham should act different. There's a kasha from a few Gemaras. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Yudam Adalf. Rava Chadil Rav Hamnuna Dikamarech Betzluse. So Rava saw that Rav Hamnuna was davening very long. Amar Manichim Chayil Olam Ve'ozgim Mechayil Shah. That's wrong. You should be learning. You should spend time in davening, but not too much, and you should spend time on learning. Everything in the right time. Yeah, good. You should daven, you should learn, all in the right time. Don't stretch either of them out. So Rabbi Yirmiya, Hava Yosif Kameh de Rabbi Zir. So Rabbi Yirmiya, Hava Oski B'Shmaisa. Rabbi Yirmiya was learning in front of Rabbi Zera. Noga L'Tzluye, came time to daven. Hava Kamesarhev, Rabbi Yirmiya. And Rabbi Yirmiya said, okay, I finished learning. Let's quickly finish up. We'll go daven. So Reb Zera got angry. Kari Ale Reb Zera Meiser Ozo Misho Shmo Tfila Gam Tfila Sa Toeva. You turn your ear away from learning Torah, from learning Torah, so even your davening is bad. That's why if there's a shir after davening, if it's a short shir, always stay for that short Dvar Torah, because you don't want it'll affect your tefillah. So what was Rabbi Yirmiya thinking? Why did he quickly stop learning? And why did Reb Zera get upset? So the I think Rabbi Kiva Eger quotes the Ra'an Nach. You know, Rabbi Kiva Eger says ayin this and ayin that, so some svarim are just impossible to find. So I don't know. When I was in yeshiva, they had a sefer that you could buy the Gilyon Hashachas Sholem, which quoted every obscure sefer that Rabbi Kiva Eger quoted. So the Ra'an Nach says as follows. He says Rabbi Yirmiya. So the halacha is. A Talmid Chacham should focus on learning. So Rabbi, the Gemara in Brachos says, I think it was Rabbi Yehuda, his Kriya Shema, if he was giving shir, the way you'd say Kriya Shema was, during the shir, he'd cover his eyes and say the first pasuk of Shema, and within the shir, he'd mention you'd see his mitzvah, but he wouldn't actually daven. Because learning, public learning, was more important than tefillah. He was a Talmid Chacham. And for a Talmid Chacham, there's a different din. Someone who's Terasa and Naso is a different din. So why? What about Rabbi Yirmiya? He quickly finished up his learning so he could daven. So the Ranach says Rabbi Yirmiya didn't want to act like a Talmid Chacham. He was humble. He was an onov. So even though he had that p'tur, and he could have just continued learning, he felt that he should just be like everybody else. He should be normal. And the Gemara Bava Metzia also. Ribbis. So Ribbis is complicated. I'm not an expert. But there is a conf. So there's as follows. If you lend someone money and they buy a tree or an orchard with it, so if you eat the fruit from that tree and then he pays you back, so that's ribbis. You got more than you lent him. So what if every time you eat a fruit, you deduct that from the mortgage? So the mortgage decreases by the price of an apple, one by one. That's called nechiyasa. So machlok is in the Gemara whether that's ribbis or not. But everybody agrees, the Gemara says, a Talmid Chacham should not do that. However, the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Samar Zayin Amud Beis, says, Rav Kana, Rav Papa, Rav Ashi, Lo Achli, Ben Echiyasa, they would not eat those fruits if they had a mortgage, if they lent money for someone to buy the tree. Ravina, Ochal, Ben Echiyasa. So Tosfos asks, how could he eat that? Ravina did that. How could he do that? So says Rabbeinu Tam, Lo hayarotza litol Hashem v'lasos asmo tzorba mirabanan. He didn't want to act like a Talmid Chacham. He said, I'm a regular guy. This was humility. Out of humility, he just wanted to be normal. If everybody could do that. If he held, everybody could do it. So he would do it also. Why should he be different? So, let's juggle. What's going on here? So I think the answer is you have to know your position. And you have to know your position in the community. And you have to know how you relate to the community. The Gemara and Shabbos, which says that Talmidei Chachamim in Bavel had special clothes that they used to wear. Oh, whatever, a hamburg, a frock, you know, whatever, the equivalent of that in the times of the Gemara, but in Eretz Yisrael they didn't. So I asked the Gemara, why in Eretz Yisrael don't they, but in Bavel they have special clothes for Talmidei Chachamim, And the Gemara's answer is because in Bavel they're Amarasim. So two ways to read that. Either one, it's a knock of the Talmidei Chachamim saying, they're not such Talmidei Chachamim, so they need the clothes to gain a little respect. The other way to read the Gemara is, no, the people are Amarasim, and they don't know to respect who's a Talmud. They can't tell. You see that a lot, you go with different places, they don't know who's a Talmud Chacham and who's not. If you have the word rabbi before your name, they think, oh, I can ask you Shilas and Ribbis. No, please don't ask me Shilas and Ribbis. So therefore, they wore the special clothes so that people would know to respect their Torah. In other words, if you need to act like a rabbi, so act like a rabbi. Otherwise, the rest of us who don't have that position, we're not hired, it's not our job. So you know, we just act normal, be like everybody else. So that's the second form of being normal. So what's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is basically yora. You should just follow halacha like everybody else does. You don't need your special chumras. And if you have special chumras, keep them at home. Don't let anybody know about it. Let's say Reb Zundel Salant. He was a Talmud of Reb Chaim Volozhiner. So Reb Yisrael Salanter recognized that he was a big Talmud Chacham. How did he recognize? Because he realized that everywhere there was a machlokas between the Ravid and the Rambam, Reb Zundel Salant followed the Ravid. And he realized this guy must be something special. But he hid it. And you had to be a huge Talmud Chacham to figure out that he was a huge Talmud Chacham. Because why did people have to know that he was doing things unusual, that he was some big tzaddik and Talmud Chacham? He just wanted to be a normal person.
So what is unique Hasidus?
So sometimes you see Baal Nefesh Yachmir, right? So there are some people who have reached that position in their growth in Yiddishkeit that they are at that place where they should be acting that way. But, so every minute, every person who acts with Hasidus that I've seen, you wouldn't know unless you follow them around. Maybe they hide it. It used to be in Yeshiva, so my Rebbe was a grandson of Rav Yosher Ben Soloveitchik on one side, and the grandson of the Talmud Rebbe on the other side. He was a mixture. Meir Tursky, I'm sure you heard his brother Moshe Tursky, Shem Yikub Dumbo, was as well. So it was a contest among the Talmudim to figure out what chumras our Rebbe had, because he really tried hard to hide it from us, and so we tried hard to outsmart him and figure it out. And I'm not going to reveal any of them to you, but there's some very interesting ones. Even the brisket. So the third pshat, in the few minutes we have left, so it's a very simple pshat in the Gemara, of again, Chana's tefillah for Shmuel, why did she ask if she was just a normal guy? So Rashi says, very simply, Rashi says, Shelo yehetema ve'enei habrios. He shouldn't be strange, shouldn't be unusual in people's eyes. When we talk Shani Barinbo, shall let this go Ayin Hara. Well, yeah, Ayin Hara. There'll be jealousy, there'll be hatred. Who is this guy? He's so handsome. I hate this guy. So smart. I'm so jealous of him. I wish I had a cup like his. A cup like his. So, you know, that leads to bad things. So where do we see nowadays these ideas of jealousy and hatred because we're different? Because to some degree we're special, it's not better, at least from various perspectives, some perspectives we are, our interaction with the non-Jews in the society. And there's a perception, I leave it to you to decide whether it's true or not, that we're smarter, we're richer, and we're more connected as a community. And that leads to jealousy and to hatred, and it's our job, our responsibility of being normal in society is to prevent and avoid as much as possible these perceptions, this hatred, and this jealousy. And to some degree, it's blaming the victims. It's not our fault they're jealous of us, but in a chinami, we have to avoid that. So how do we do that? How do you blend in and be normal with society when really we're not allowed to help the halacha blend in and be normal in society? So Rav Soloveitchik addresses in two of his essays. Not much time, and we can only talk about it a tiny, tiny bit. So in one essay, The Lonely Man of Faith, he talks about Bereishis, Perek Aleph, and Perek Beis. In Perek Aleph, you see Adam, who is created by Hashem and given everything. And in Perek Beis, you see he's given obligation in the Gan Eden, L'Avdo L'Shomro. And he sees this as two aspects of a person's personality. On the one hand, we should go out into society and contribute and try to advance science and politics and Yeshiva Olam and everything. On the other hand, we have to have one foot on the base medrash and in shul, where we just interact with Hashem. In another essay, he talks about our interaction with Christians particularly, and Gentiles in general. He points out that when Yaakov, Avram Avinu, when he tried to buy the Me'arat HaMachpelah, he says, Ger v'sof shov anochi. It's a contradiction. If you're a ger, right, if you're a stranger, you're not a toshev, you're not a resident. So which is it? So Soloveitchik says, aha, this was a major theme of his. You should be both a ger and a toshev. On the one hand, we should be Americans, proud Americans, contribute to American society. On the other hand, we're Jews with thousands of years of tradition and history behind us. And we follow halacha. And it's a balance because it's a contradiction. So he points out when Yaakov Avinu went to greet Esav in Parshas Vayishlach, or he sent someone to go greet Esav, so he expected the following three questions from Esav. Lami ata, ve'ana seleich, ulami eil lefanecha. So Soloveitchik said, Abti Drush, Lami ata, what does that mean? Who do you belong to? Hashem. Ana seleich, where are you going in life? What's your derech in life? So that also is to Hashem. We follow, our derech is a derech HaTorah. Ulami eila lefanecha, and who are you willing to contribute these? So he says that we should be willing to contribute to everybody, to society. Civic, scientific, political, we should be willing to advance society. So we have to be all of these things. It requires balance in life. And that's a chokhmah in itself. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky points out that Yaakov Avinu had learned in Yeshiva Shem Ever for 14 years. So why? Why wasn't the Torah of Avram and Yitzhak enough for Yaakov Avinu? Why did he need the Torah of Shem Ve'Aver? So Yaakov says, no, the Avos had created their own insular society. They created their own Jewish ghetto that was pure Torah. But Shem, when did he live? Shem was saved from Dor HaMabel. Aver was saved from the Dor HaFluga. So they knew how to live in these uncomfortable societies where you're unique and you have to some degree fight against society while living inside of it. And that unique Torah of Shem Ve'Aver was what Yaakov needed if he was going to go out and live with Lavan for how many years? 20 years. And the Bimus Rhyme. That's even better. The Bimus Rhyme. Okay, so we're mamish out of time. It's time for Marv. So just the Chazer. So we said, what does it mean to be normal? And we have three different answers. And three different mitzvahs. One is that it means to be balanced in your life, in your approach to life, and that's mitzvah v'alach to be dracha. The other is to follow halacha and act like most people around you, and that's yura. And the third is to try to blend into society, but not too much. And I would say that's probably a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. So with that, thank you very much for listening and for participating. And,